Welcome to the Chair Yoga Podcast with me, Maria Jones. Knowledge and inspiration for teaching and practicing chair-based yoga.
The Chair Yoga Podcast is sponsored by the Chair Yoga Handbook, the only book you'll ever need to teach chair yoga. Get your copy on Amazon now. Welcome to the Chair Yoga Podcast. Today's episode is the audio from the replay of the Yoga Alliance presentation that I did, Yoga for Older Adults.
Thanks everybody for joining us today. Maria, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me again here for another Yoga Alliance Continuous Education webinar. I will share my screen because I have a presentation for you today. I specialize in chair yoga and I have been teaching chair yoga mostly for all my teaching, pretty much all my teaching, yoga teaching life. I have been practicing since 2001. It started all with body balance, vinyasa, astanga, completely the opposite end of the spectrum of chair yoga, shall we say, very active and intense practices. And as a chronically ill person, because I have been diagnosed with systemic lupus, my practice became more spiritual, more adapted, and that's what drew me to actually going and deciding to specialize in chair yoga, because I found that chair yoga was the gateway of teaching more and more meaningful practices and having a positive impact in my community. I have been involved with various community projects and charities, and they have provided me with numerous teaching opportunities. And what I have seen is that people who come regularly to the class benefit greatly from chair yoga, and it becomes a positive intervention in their lives and in the greater community, because it really brings people together. From a personal perspective, as I said, I have systemic lupus. I have found yoga to be the most rewarding part of my job, because I'm helping people exactly like me who are chronically ill, less able, and of course older, which is what we will be talking about today. The actual specialization can create loads and loads of well-being opportunities in your community too. And we will discuss about those well-being and opportunities and how you make yoga a positive intervention in the life of older adults today. So as I said, or as the webinar title is, our topic is chair yoga for older adults or adults, depending which part of the Atlantic you are. Our learning objectives are to understand the health challenges of older adults, and things are in the way of my screen, and I will present you with ways which yoga can support older adults and make it a positive health intervention in their lives. Again, another US-UK thing, the aging part is not spelled wrong. That's how we do it over here. Sorry, what is aging? If I don't know whether Sybil can open the comments, but if she can open the comments for the attendees, maybe you can let me know what constitutes aging for you. What could it be? The World Health Organization defines it as the accumulation of a wide variety of molecular and cellular damage over time. And that doesn't really mean very much unless you have probably a degree in biochemistry. But for us, it could mean lower mobility, cognitive decline maybe, or a hearing loss and other things. Let's see other comments, if there are any. Cells working less, they die, cognitive decline, body changes naturally, the capabilities shift, correct? You're slowing down. All those things indeed are part of the aging, slower metabolism, don't I know it, a whole stone later, change in range of motion, loss of flexibility, medication reactions, and impaired stability. Lots and lots of perspectives here. I'm in my early 60s and teach older adults. It's working with stiffer muscles, with poorer balance, working with small aging injuries, yes, body transitions are changing. They need to be slower, of course. There is a pain threshold sometimes that increases, or it's just the pain is there all the time. They are dealing with pain. They are not as able to heal as quickly. It's quite funny when my son, for example, falls and gets an injury from climbing or whatever, football, because he's a goalie. His bruises disappear within a couple of days. For me, it's like they're still there a week later. And I'm not saying I'm a goalie. I'm just saying that I do hit myself from time to time, hurt myself from time to time. So yeah, it is exactly the same. Things are just slower. And there is a lot of stiffness and age-related slowing down in the comments. So I'm going to stop reading those comments now myself. And it was the kind of answers I was expecting to hear about lower mobility, lower stability, cognitive decline, aches and pains, sensory loss, generally slowing down and feeling quite unwell maybe over time. And there are contributors to that aging process. And that could be genetics. The process is entirely natural, regardless how much we like it or don't, probably. The process is natural. Aging is entirely natural and very different for every individual. We have epigenetics, which means in Greek is after genetics. So that would mean lifestyle choices, their environment, and things that contribute on top of our genetics. And each one of these contributions affect us differently, and it's something very new in the health sciences sector and research. So the easiest thing to say is that our environment has an impact on our genetics, our lifestyle has an impact on our genetics, and things change over long periods of time. So that can affect the process of aging as well. You can have disease contributing to the aging process, especially chronic related illness and chronic inflammation. And of course, you have stress, which in some cases it is good, like exercise is a stressor, a stress factor, but it is a good one. But the kind of stress that it is prolonged and the kind of stress that is the kind of stress we feel in our everyday lives through our work, through our family, or anything else that we do, those psychological stress that we experience in modern life for prolonged periods of times can also result into quicker, faster aging. And of course, diet, which can have a positive impact, but it can also have a negative impact if we focus on nutrient poor diets and fast foods and processed foods, because it also supports a multitude of functions in our body. Therefore, we want to be eating in order to support our body and the functions of the body. And our lifestyle choices play a part in aging. My mom is a heavy smoker, so of course that has had effect on her cardiovascular health. She doesn't believe it was the smoking. That's a different story. But what I'm trying to say is that there is lifestyle choices that we make, smoking, drinking, eating, and sometimes we can do nothing about it. Some people's jobs, like people who work night shifts, for example, or they work shifts, it has been scientifically proven that that has an impact on their lifespan, and it becomes shorter because they do not follow their circadian rhythm, their natural rhythm of their bodies. But maybe we can do nothing about those lifestyle choices. Maybe it is part of our job, maybe it is part of our lives, but they do contribute also to the process of aging. So it is important to keep those in mind when we are coming across certain older adults, older people. Because yoga can help, of course, for each one of those contributing factors, there is something that we can do, apart maybe from genetics. So of course, yoga can help. It is a system that it is designed to, shall we say, tackle, to help us, to support us through adversity in life. It can contribute to having a better quality of life, including social interactions, living with others, having more patience while we're working with others, especially in the way that yoga is practiced today. In groups, that's an excellent opportunity to be more sociable. Yoga can help, especially the way that it is practiced today. In groups, it can be a social intervention, We are looking also at promoting resilience and the ability to handle and recover from adversity and difficult situations. We're looking at promoting independence and the ability to look after oneself, because this also has an impact in the health outcomes when we get older. And of course, we are looking at supporting students through their cognitive function. Acuity of the mind is in fact primary at any age. So as we age, it is important to try and slow down that cognitive decline and that process of cognitive decline, which, although it isn't directly related to aging, it does happen through later life more than it does when we are younger. And one of the most obvious benefits of practicing yoga, of course, is supporting good physical health through older life, through the practice of asana. So let's see what really the health challenges are. Know that it can help. We know that We know that there is a sense of reduced strength and mobility. And we know that this is how they are experiencing those health challenges, but what does it actually mean? It means that they have reduced strength and reduced range of motion, reduced mobility. It means that they have memory loss and there is a cognitive decline that we already spoke about. They're feeling very lonely. As we get older, our kids move on, our lives move on, we retire, and social interactions are not as natural as they used to be. They don't come as easily. We have to create social interactions with others. So there is a greater risk when we get older to become lonely. And that can have a really negative effect in our health and our lifespan. Other biological imbalances, of course, play a part in our lifespan, and that would be poor immunity, cardiovascular health. People may gain weight. Obesity is one of the things that has been mentioned, in sarcopenia, where there is more readily storing fat more readily in the body and losing muscle. People who are older may experience cancer or kidney disease, and they may also experience faster progression of chronic conditions they may have been diagnosed when they were younger because of the chronic inflammation. And again, we have yoga that can help, and there are yoga practice tools that can help. How can we use those yoga teachings and practices to help our older adults? Of course, we have the asana, which is excellent for improving strength and flexibility, for offering opportunities to balance as well and improve our standing strength and balance. We have pranayama, which is incredibly powerful. A simple breath observation can lead to awareness and, of course, inhabiting a calmer state. The breath in itself is a tool that we can use to manage stress, and that doesn't change as we get older. We can still use our breath to manage stress. When you are retiring, when you are getting older, there is a sense, maybe there's a sense of identity loss. They are not doing the regular job. They are not doing the regular things. The kids have moved away and so on. So that can be really stressful in later life, and we need to understand that. In order to deal with that, with those changes and possible adversity and ill health, which can be thrown into this mix, we also have yoga philosophy, which provides insights and wisdom needed to deal with all sorts of adversity and cultivate attitude towards ourselves and others. We don't want to grow up to be grumpy old women or men, grumpy old people. There's a saying. And yoga can help us feel more at ease with ourselves and others through later life. And of course, it can help us with acuity of the mind. Focus practices can help towards maintaining or even improving cognitive reserve, our ability to process information efficiently still through later life. And finally, we've got meditation, which is a way to cultivate resilience. Another word for resilience would be equanimity. But I prefer resilience because it allows us to still bounce back regardless of the adversity that is thrown at us. And in later life, that could also be loss. We could be losing our partners, our friends. Death is part of aging, unfortunately. And it is something that we really need to tackle. And I have also had to deal with in my own classes. I mostly work with people who have multiple sclerosis, but there have been people that passed in our classes, and it's been one of the hardest things we had to deal with. And meditation has been key in finding resolution and, I guess, peace in those events. And it is an important part of the yoga classes, even if you meet resistance, especially if you go into sheltered housing or older people homes, care homes. They may say, we sit around all day, we are relaxing all day, we don't need meditation. But they do, because that is something that can help them tackle adversity better, even later in life. So what is the role of actually chair yoga in this? We know that yoga can help, especially because most of the people here are probably yoga teachers, since it is the Yoga Alliance. We know that yoga can help, but how can chair yoga help in particular? Firstly, I would like to say that there is a wide range of abilities amongst older adults. For some adults, they age well, and for others, they have to deal with greater challenges in their lives. But beyond the abilities of the students, there is an element of accessibility, which is heavily associated with chair-based yoga. Probably changing ideas and misconceptions portrayed in the media about yoga, and we all know what that means. We know that what we see is young, slim females wearing expensive leggings. So we want to change that idea. We want to make sure that we put out into the world that yoga encompasses more. And as a chronically ill person, I know that, you know that, because you've probably done your teacher training and other things like that. But as a chronically ill person, I know that as my condition deteriorated, I had to turn into a more spiritual aspect of yoga. And that really helped. It provided the tools to manage. And my practice looked nothing like what in the media. It is important to appreciate that what is seen in the media about yoga can put people off very quickly. So we want to change that, and we want to offer a sense of community in our classes. This is why chair yoga is important, because the classes are different. There is a social element in the practice. There is this mundane household object. It's not a yoga mat that they have never seen before. They don't even have to take their shoes off. And it offers this unique opportunity to bring people together. And there is value in people sitting together, simply connecting. This is valuable for everyone involved, valuable for our nervous systems, because it provides a sense of safety. And it continues on with a sense of inclusion. The practice is adapted for a wide range of abilities, the wide range of abilities older adults come in, and it offers the opportunity to practice in many different ways, from seated on a chair to standing at the back of the chair to even transitioning to the floor if they want to. So through adaptation, it is really easy to help everyone feel included. And it is an important aspect, again, of yoga, because with inclusion, our nervous system feels safe, we'll feel safe, and we can relax yet again, just like coming together in a group. Chair yoga can provide the tools to manage. The practices don't focus on stretching or achieving sequences or apex poses. It is all about dynamic movement, which keeps the muscles and joints warm and supple. And that can make the asana very meaningful. It can resemble things that they do every day, activities that they do in their daily lives, which are essential in getting out and about and carrying out daily tasks. And next thing that really helps is independence, which is vital in the life of older adults. Just like the functional movement that can keep them independent, we are also looking at remaining independent in terms of getting out and about, of tackling falls maybe, which a lot, the majority, in fact, not just a lot, the majority of older people will experience later in life. Again, balance, as I said, because this practice is very important. And with the use of a chair, going to chair yoga, people can feel more stable, people can feel more able, more secure. In fact, the National Health Service here in the UK has a program called Stable and Able, which they have funded across the country for people to attend. And I attended one of those because I was thinking of doing the training, and the practices resemble very much what we do in a chair yoga class, where the movement is dynamic, static, dynamic. It resembles what we do in real life. And we help people either recover from a fall, but also build the strength to not fall. A study that I was reading, in fact, when I was writing my book, said that yoga was significantly better in tackling how people felt after a fall and returning back to regular activity and regular life, because the paper was going on about it, basically saying that it tackled more than just the physical aspect. It tackled fear. It gave them hope, security. It helped people feel safe, and they were able to return back to their daily lives a lot quicker with yoga than any of the fitness and lifestyle programs that any health service can provide. And eventually we've got Acuity, which is focus and coordination. It's required to practice any kind of yoga, but in chair yoga, we try and include elements of bilateral asymmetry or bilateral coordination, you can call it, lefts and rights, which activate different parts of the brain. We vary the movement, and as you will see in the practice that is coming up, you will be able to practice some of these and feel confused, and that's absolutely fine. But when you get it, it feels great. And you know that when you finally get it, you have created new connections, which can support cognitive reserve, maintain it, or even improve it over the long run. So that's how chair yoga can help. So coming to the end of this, where we are going back to our learning objectives, which were to understand the health challenges and see how yoga can support older adults, making yoga a positive intervention. And I think we achieved that. We understand that their health challenges have a lot to do with mobility, strength, a range of motion, getting out and about, remaining independent, dealing with disease of all sorts as they get older. And of course, old age itself, which may mean sensory impairments, slowing down, aches and pains, and that sort of a thing. We went through that and saw how we can make yoga a positive intervention by using the chair, making it a social opportunity, getting people to help to work on the things that challenge them through later life.
Thank you so much for listening. The Chair Yoga Podcast is sponsored by the Chair Yoga Handbook. You can get your copy now from Amazon or my website,